This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يا بني إسرائيل إني رسول الله إليكم مصدقا لما بين يدي من التوراة ومبشرا برسول يأتي من بعد اسمه أحمد. اسمه أحمد. And it is the only time that the name Ahmad is mentioned in the Quran. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, as we know, is referred to in the Torah and the Injil as Ahmad. He's referred to as Ahmad. That's why in Surah As-Saff, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ. And when Isa, the son of Maryam, said, إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ. I am the messenger of Allah to you. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ. And I brought you the truth. What is in my hands? The truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Torah, which is contained in the Torah. Wa mubashiran, and glad tidings. Mubashir. Glad tidings. Bi rasulin. And I bring you glad tidings of a messenger. Ya'ti min ba'di. You will come after me. Ismu Ahmad. You will come after me, and his name will be Ahmad. That is why when they talk about the Good News Bible, and they say they refer to the Bible as the Good News Bible, what they in fact are saying is that the good news in the Bible is the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he's referred to Nabi Isa himself says that the good news that I bring to the world is the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked, "Who are you?" Somebody asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Who are you?" And he replied, he said, أَنَا دَعْوَةَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَبُشْرَ عِيسَىٰ عَلَيْهِ سَلَىٰهُ وَسَلَىٰهُ. He said, I am the answered prayer of Abraham, of Ibrahim. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nabi Ibrahim said, oh Allah, send for them a prophet from amongst himself. I'm the وَبُشْرَ عِيسَىٰ. And the good news that Isa had given to the Bani Israel, to the Jews. So, we hear then that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is in fact mentioned only four times in the Quran as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and once as Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet the name of Nabi Musa and the Jews will say this to you and the missionaries will come and they say, but the name of Musa is mentioned 25 times in the Quran. And Isa is mentioned many more times, I think 15 times. If your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is such a great man and God loved him so much, why did he only mention his name four times, one time, and 25 times the name of Musa, and more than 15 times the name of Isa alayhi as-salatu wasalam? There's an answer for that, of course, and a very good answer. The answer is that when you speak about persons who are absent, you mention their names. Otherwise, people will not know who you're talking about. So you will say, so-and-so said this, you said Ahmad said that, Muhammad said that, Ufaid said that. But if the person is in front of you, if you're addressing the person in front of you, you won't say, if the man's named Muhammad, you won't say that to Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. You will just say he or you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses directly the Ya Ayyuha Nabi. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Quran, Ya Ayyuha Nabi, oh message, oh message. Ya Ayyuha Rasul, Ya Ayyuha Muzaffir. Ya Ayyuhal Mudaththir, Ya Seen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Nabi directly, doesn't mention his name. It is in the first person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in the Quran umpteen times more. It is not about the numbers, it's not a numbers game. It is about those being absent, being referred to as Musa and Isa and Dawood and Sulaiman and Nuh. And he who is present, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah blesses him, and we know Allah blesses him. Not by his name, in endearments. Ya Ayyuha Nabi. Ya Ayyuha Nabi. Oh my Nabi. Ya Ayyuha Rasul. Oh my Rasul. Ya Ayyuha Nabi. Yasin. We don't even know what Yasin means. If you said it's a term of endearment, then we don't know what it means. And so on and so on. So Allah, so tonight, inshallah, we're looking at the verse of Allah. Now, if you look at this verse, if you look just at these words, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٍ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, what does that mean in English? Muhammad is no more than a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. In English, if you translate it directly, it says, Muhammad is no more than a messenger. But is it really so? Is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam no more than a messenger? Is this all Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means? is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He came with me. Because we know the status of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Uhud, the Battle of Uhud, and with his verses revealed, came much later than the Mi'raj, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his heavenly journey. We're in fact with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know. But this was part of the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'll explain to you why this verse, in fact, why when Allah says, wa ma Muhammadun illa rasul, is the greatest honor that Allah can bestow on any person. And we know, for example, I said last week, that this verse was revealed at the time of the death of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, when he refused to believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dead. I mean, today there are people who refuse to believe also that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. They invite him and they say, no, he's alive, he's sitting here. They put chairs for him to sit on when they have no room or urs or whatever, they have a special chair, an empty chair, and they say, well, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come in and they will sit on this chair. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to reveal these verses. And Umar ibn Khattab, he was greater Sahaba than Umar, he also refused to believe him. When the Prophet died, he refused. In fact, he took out his sword and he said, whosoever tells me that Muhammad is dead, I will kill him. Like today people say, if you say that Wali is dead, I will kill you. Or, you know, you need a bodyguard. If you say Muhammad is dead, you know, how can you say Muhammad is dead? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi in the Quran, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُ مَيِّتٌ. You are going to be a maid of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of them are going to die. قَدْ خَلَمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْرُسُلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, before you had come, prophets, they passed away. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, when they passed away, why would they husn al-kafan? You don't husn al-kafan, a living person. You only husn al-kafan, a person has passed away. Or a person who's not shaheed, a person is buried in his blood. So, Umar ibn Khattab, even he refused. Because of the status of the Nabi Hassan. Abu Bakr came and told him to sit down and keep quiet. Because he doesn't just have Bakr, but he was in an emotional state. You know, people may come today, when they go to the Urs and the Milad, then they get into an emotional state. Umar also got into this emotional state. And Abu Bakr got a member and said, he quoted, said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ. That Muhammad is not but a messenger. Many messengers have come before him. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ قُتِلْ قَلَتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so if he should die, or if he's killed, you will turn your ears, you will turn away from Islam. Is that what you, is that your reaction? Is that what you need to do? So Umar, when he heard this, Umar of course knew the old Quran. Umar knew the Quran. Umar knew that this was in the Quran. When Umar heard this from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, what did he say? He said, Wallahi, ka'anni ma sami'tuha hatta al-an. He said, it was as if I never heard these verses before. And he said, my legs wouldn't carry me anymore. I said, in the Sahih Bukhari, Fathullah, Ibn Hajar says, that Sayyidina Umar himself said, when Abu Bakr said these words to him, it reminded him of the words that he couldn't say before. What does it mean? It means that we need to be reminded continuously of the status of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should never raise the status of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above that of a prophet and a human being and the beloved of Allah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's worry was always, he always would tell the Sahaba, please don't raise me to the level of Isa. Please. Please don't make a god of me. Please don't worship me. I'm a human being. Basharun mithlukum yuha ilayh. Allah says, say to humanity, I am a human being like you. The difference is, of course, very big. It's as Mona Ansari said when he came to South Africa. He explained the difference between us as human beings and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a human being. And he gave a beautiful explanation. I'm sure you've read it already. He said, carbon. Coal is made of carbon. Coal that you have is made of carbon. And diamonds is also made of carbon. The same substance, can you believe it? That coal is made of, diamonds are made of. And just that the mature over thousands, maybe billions of years under a lot of pressure and heat, and becomes a diamond. And in fact, today they make industrial diamonds. They take coal and they turn it into diamonds. So what is the value of coal and what is the value of diamonds? A whole mountain of coal may not be equal to one diamond. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is diamond and we are coal. That's the difference. And when, so that is who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. Yet Allah says he's only a messenger. When the Nabi was buried, after he was buried, Sayyidatuna Fatima alayhi salatu wa sallam, the daughter, his daughter Fatima, approached Sayyidina Bilal as he was coming from the mountain, he was coming from the burial of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She stopped him and she said, "Oh Bilal, what did you do? What did you do with my dad? What did you do with my father? After all, he was the messenger of Allah. He was the most beloved of Allah. What did you just bury him in the sand? Did you just cover him?" Bilal said, "Oh Fatima, if it was our decision, his companions, if it was our decision, we would have suspended him between heaven and earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, 'Minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra.' But Allah says, 'Minha khalaq, of the earth we created you, and to the earth you shall be returned. And from the earth you shall rise again.' And that rule applies to all human beings, irrespective of who you are and what you are. You have to be very tender. You cannot do like some people do, they burn the mayyit, and like some people do, they... In fact, in India, the Jains, if you go to Bombay, I think they've closed at 17 now, but I was there many years ago. It's strange how they bury the dead. They don't bury them, they put them on stools. And the vultures come, and the vultures eat up the flesh from the bones. Can you believe it? Imagine the stink that causes it. But that is their religion. That's what they believe in. So this was the status of Muhammad. So when we read a verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Muhammad is no more than a messenger. It sounds like a letdown, doesn't it? It sounds like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used magic words like we do when we sing his praises. I mean, you know, when they sing the Naat, for example, people cry. They make sounds that you don't hear otherwise. Because it's praising of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created Muhammad, who loved Muhammad, who created his nur before he created anything else, what did he say? وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. What did I say in the beginning to you? I said these words are the highest praise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to him. How? The word Muhammad, let's first analyze, because now we have to look at this word very and put this word under the spotlight. Put it under the spotlight. Muhammad. Muhammad is, Iqbal said, Iqbal the great poet of the sub-Indian continent. He said, Muhammad Nandiye, Muhammad Maqsadi. He said, Muhammad is not just a name. Muhammad embellishes and has within it an objective. Muhammad is an objective. It's a goal that you reach for. It's not just a name. Of course, it's a name. Like any name. But it's when that name attaches to a particular person that it becomes the identity of that person. I mean, you can write Muhammad on a board, name Muhammad, name Ibrahim. But that name Ibrahim means nothing. It only means something once you give it to somebody. And that person's personality embellishes the name. So this name Muhammad was given was the first time in the history of the Arabs that the name Muhammad was given to a child. Because the name Muhammad comes from the word Hamida. 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 Hamida means to praise. In simple plain language, means to praise. Hamida. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the name Muhammad rather, means the one who is praised. The one who is praised. The great Persian scholar, Sayyid Nasr.
From your previous, some of his writings, he does a book of Sufi essays, Muslims in the modern world, is having quite a number of excellent books.
And he says, if you look at the name Muhammad, mean Mim Ha Mim Da. Mim Ha Mim Da. No, he said, if you take the name Ahmed, sorry, Ahmed, Alif Ha Mim Da. Ahmed. He says, if you take away the Mim, what does it become? Ahad. He says between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Ahad and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is only mean, meaning mawt. That is his interpretation. His only mawt stands between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and being combined with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meaning Muhammad, who is that mean which is his mawt. We say Ahad and Ahmad. How close it is linked. How close the names are. So, Muhammad. Muhammad dhatun waqa' al-hamd bin al-ghayb. Muhammad, the definition of Muhammad, is a person praised by someone else. In this case, of course, and honored by someone else, and elevated by someone. What is the name? What does Muhammad mean? Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. Muhammad, any Muhammad. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah, is he who is praised, elevated, and honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Muhammad. So in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad illa Rasul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by using the name Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I praise, I elevate, I honor Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Muhammad means somebody who is praised from the outside. Ahmad. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the name Muhammad. The other name which precedes Muhammad is Mahmud. We say every adhan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maqaman mahmud. Mahmud. To give him the elevated status, the praised station on the day of Qiyamah. The honored station on the day of Qiyamah. Mahmud comes before Muhammad. Muhammad is the most praised. Mahmud is the one who's praised. So Muhammad is the superlative form, as we say in English, of Mahmud. Mahmud is the lower level, Muhammad is the higher level. Muhammad is the praised one, Mahmud is the praised one, Muhammad is the most praised one. Ahmad. So Muhammad means, I'm repeating this so you will try to remember this for the rest of your life. Don't sleep. Sleep tonight when you go. Sleep Saturday and Sunday. This is very important information. Don't sleep. Ask Allah to keep you awake, because shaitan wants you to sleep through this very important lesson about the best person Allah sent to the universe. Rahmatan lil alameen. You were sent as a blessing for you. Every Muslim must know this information. Every Muslim must transfer this little bit of knowledge to his children and his grandchildren. This is very important. Because what if your grandchild asks you, Daddy, what does Muhammad mean? And why does Allah refer to him as Ahmad and Muhammad? You have to be able to answer. So what is Ahmad? Why does Allah start to use his word Ahmad? Ahmad means the one from whom emanates praise and honor. Muhammad means he who is praised. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasul of Allah means he who is praised by Allah. Ahmad means from him who emanates praises towards Allah. So Muhammad is the one praised by Allah, and Ahmad is the one who returns the praises to Allah. So, and Hamid. Hamid is the low form of praising Allah, and Ahmad is the superior form, meaning he who exaggerates the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. His heart beat when he sleeps. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, his body sleeps but his heart never sleeps. His heart always beats with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Muhammad. Allah uses Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and puts the word Rasul next to it, it just doesn't mean Prophet and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means the one, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَلَٰئِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ. Allah commands us to do this. So just by saying Muhammad is a mere messenger, it means the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises and who praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ رُسُلٌ. Despite this, we are not to elevate the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the status of Isa alayhi sallam. And we should not argue and discuss and deliberate on the life of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the life of any person for that matter, after the person has died. Why not? Because we know nothing about it. And nobody has come to tell us anything about it. So whatever we may say about the life of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or my father, or my mother, or your mother, is mere speculation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't speculate. Allah says, إِنَّكَ مَيْتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيْتُونَ. We have to. You see, if we're not clear about this, then we're just like the Christians. No difference between us and the African religions. We say the ancestors are still alive and they can call up the ancestors and dance around the campfire. Or like the Red Indians in America also call up their ancestors. What's the difference between a Muslim and the African religion that worship their ancestors? We also can worship our ancestors because we also now don't want to believe that they did. So yes, you know, that one is alive. It's all nonsense. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Who will never die? Who is the only one who will never die? Never be buried. Allah. And I've said to you before that we believe in the duality of creation. There are two. There's Allah and everything besides Allah is His creation. The two can't be impossible. Allah is Allah and creation full stop. We don't believe that the Sufis believe in Wahdat al-Wujud. I've said this before. That Allah is in everything. Maybe you look as Allah. These philosophies have not only been espoused by Muslims, also by non-Muslims. But we have our Tawheed. Allah is Allah, and Allah says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهِ سَفَانٍ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ مِنْ جَلَالِ الْإِكْرَامِ. Allah says, the time will come when كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهِ. Every person shall be dead. In fact, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهِ. Every single living thing shall die. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ. Only Allah will be there. Like it was in the beginning. There's Allah. The two can't share in divinity. The two can't share in ability. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able. قَدْ خَلَقْ مِنْ قَبْلِ الْرُسُلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must remember the context of this verse. This verse was revealed at the A turning point in the life of Muslims in Islam at the Battle of Uhud. This verse was revealed when the Sahaba was under such military pressure that they scattered from the battlefield. They left the Prophet standing on the battlefield exposed to the enemy. His tooth was numb, his cheek was full of holes, he was bleeding from stab wounds. Sahaba's camp. Allah Subhanahu reveals to the Sahaba, you are not fighting with Muhammad. This battle is not about Muhammad alayhi salam. Wama Muhammad illa Rasul qad khalat min qabli Rasul. Before him, many messengers have come. 124,000 in fact. Afakim mat, O Putin, Allah Subhanahu says, if he should die, or he should be killed, so people, person can die in 2 ways. You can die by being killed on the battlefield or by killing in any other way, or you can die by dying. Allah said, well, then he takes you. By killing means somebody chops your head off, you die, because the soul has to have a complete physical body in order to survive. If the brain is gone, that's why they say, how do you define death? People have been trying to define death, it's rather, it's a very gray area in medical science as well. When is a person dead? But they have come to the conclusion that when the person's brain is dead, the person is dead. Okay? So you have to have a brain. Your brain has to function. If the brain doesn't function anymore, unfortunately, then your soul has left the body. And the Nabi wasn't killed, he died on his bed. And because he died on his bed, he had to be washed and he had to be kafar. So he didn't die shaheed. Of course, he's with a shuhada in the seventh heaven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he didn't die. Shaheed, he died on his bed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh people of Uhud. Because Allah revealed this verse, why also? Because there was a rumor went around Uhud that they killed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was dead. Rumor went around. Muhammad is dead, he's been killed. People have run away from him, Quraysh killed him. وَمَا يَنْقَلِمْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَيْهِ يَدُرُّ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you run away from the battlefield, you may come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't want to carry out the laws of Allah, if you don't want to follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَيَزِدِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah will reward those who are grateful. Grateful for what? Grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For them to go back with him to Medina and to fight him. And we know, of course, that the Sahaba learned a bitter lesson. In fact, the lesson they learned was so bitter in ignoring the commands of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that after that, they won every battle. Only one battle lost in the history of the Sahaba and in the history of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only one battle lost. Only Uhud. All the other battles were won. Why? Because they now had the template. And what was the template? The template was, we should follow to the letter the instructions of the leader. Whether it is Umar, Abu Bakr, or Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they used to follow the instructions to the letter. Umar sent a message, and the message was وَمَا كَانَ نَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it is not, remember this is directed to who? To the soldiers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to them, وَمَا كَانَ نَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And remember, no person shall die except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are old or you are young, the type of bypass is not going to increase your life. It may increase the quality of your life. But you're not going to live longer. Now, you may ask me, but why not? Because we don't know how long it is. We don't know how long Allah looks for us. You don't know. You may think you're living longer. In fact, Allah can feel that you're going to live longer. But it doesn't mean you must take your tablets. You must still take your tablets. You don't say, oh, you know, many people say, you're not. You know, but I know.
You know, people say, he's got diabetes, but he likes to eat cake and he likes to drink cool drinks. And I say, what's my manner? You know, we enjoy it. But that's not right. That is not right. Because that is really, you are committing suicide. Allah said, I'm going to punish you. Allah's going to question you. He's going to ask you. He's going to say to you that, you know, you should not have done it. It's a punishment for you. Kitab al-Ajjal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every soul has a term, an appointed term. Why did Allah reveal this verse? Because there were some Sahaba who lagged behind on the battlefield. When you lag behind, when you win the battle, doesn't really matter. If you're going to die, you're going to die. If you're not going to die, no matter what happens, you're not going to die. You're going to come back. وَمَنْ يُرِيدِ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who wish, again addressing the soldiers and Badr, Allah says, and if you want this dunya, I will give you the dunya. If you're the right, if you wait for the booty, that's what you want. You want dunya, I'll give you the dunya. وَمَنْ يُرِيدِ ثَوَابَ الْآخِرَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who fight, wishing to have a share and a bounty in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. وَسَنَجْزِ الشَّاكِرِينَ. And again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we will give reward to those who are grateful. وَكَأَيِّن مِّن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَأَيِّن مِّن نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, 124,000 messengers. Many. كَأَيِّن means countless amounts of messengers. قَاتَلَ fought on the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ. And many scholars fought with him. Ulama fought with him. Not against him, wasn't in the same battle. Doesn't mean the scholars must say, no, everybody must participate in the battle. فَمَا وَهَنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they never lost their hearts. لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In that which touched them in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا ضَعُفُوا. And they didn't become weak. وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. Now this word, وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا, for those of you who know some Arabic, it's translated in the English translations of the Quran as nor did they degrade themselves. They didn't weaken. They didn't become weak when they fought with their prophets. وَمَسْتَكَانُ. And they translate the word istakan as degrade. But if you look at the word istakan, for those who know Arabic, you know it consists of this, I think it's the 16th form of the verb. A verb with an ista'ala, a leaf and sin is in front, it means to ask for something. So istakan means to ask for kana. You know what kana means? Anybody that learned about it knows kana. Kana means to be. The verb to be is kana. So if you really look at this, what istakan means, they didn't ask to be. In other words, they didn't ask to live. They didn't ask to remain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who fought with the Anbiya alayhi salam, فَمَا وَهَنُوا. They didn't become weak. لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ. In what touched them on the battlefield. وَمَا ضَعُفُوا. They didn't become weak. وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا. Nor did they seek to live forever. Or nor did they seek to live. They went into the battle to die in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says to the result of the Quran, Allah loves those who are patient. So what is the reward of
يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says, Allah loves the patient ones, which means that we may think, you know, you get the jannah if you're patient. But what is greater than the love of Allah? Allah says, in return for your patience, I will give you my love. This is not only patience on the battlefield, this is all kinds of patience. وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who fought on the battlefield, those who were sincere, were the Anbiya, were the Minas, the Nabeen, what did they say? Rabbana ighfir lana. Rabbana. You know, we can say Allahumma ighfir lana. We can all say Rabbana ighfir lana. What is the difference between Rabbana ighfir lana and Allahumma ighfir lana? In the one we use, we refer to Allah as our Rabb, Rabbana. And in the other one, we refer to Allah. Oh Allah. So why is it the one is the difference between saying Allah and Rabbana Fillah? When we say Rabbana Fillah, the Rabbia refers to the Rububiyyah of Allah. What is the Rububiyyah of Allah? The Rububiyyah of Allah is Allah as maintainer of the universe, Allah as maintainer of man. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us our sustenance. The one who sustains us is called our Rabb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. Allah doesn't say the Quran is Ilahul Alameen. He says he's Rabbul Alameen. He sustains the world. He sustains the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, the atheists, the Ahmadis, the Shias. He's Rabbul Alameen. So when we say Rabbana, then Rabbana is, we say, oh our Lord, who has sustained us even before we were born. Also when we say Rabbana, we say, oh you who has been our sustainer even before we knew you. Even before we knew that you are Allah who sustained us. Who knew Allah when he was 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old, maybe? When you're warm, you're not Allah subhanahu. So when we say Rabbana, we say, oh our Lord who sustained us even at the time when we didn't even know you. Ighfir lana, forgive us our sins. And when we say Allahumma ighfir lana, then we say Allah. Then we refer to Allah, then we refer to the uluhiyya of Allah subhanahu. First, the rububiyya is for everybody. Rububiyya is for everybody. Allah is Rabb is for everybody. Allah is Ilah is Allah is only for those who submit and worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We don't say Bismillah. We say Bismillah. Because we say in the name of He whom we worship alone. Ilah. Our Ilah. Allah is Rabb of everybody, but is Ilah of those who believe. Is Ilah of those who only worship Him. So we can say, Allah ighfir lana. We can say, Rabbana ighfir lana. Rabbana ighfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina. And O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and forgive us our transgressions. Israf, the word Israf, you know what the word Israf means. Israf means to waste. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us when we waste our time. We can sit 2 hours in a cinema watching a movie, no matter how tired we are. We will watch at home the TV for hours and hours till the wee hours of the morning if it's our game that we play. And if the game comes at 3 o'clock in the morning because they play in Australia, I won't get up for Fajr, but I will get up 3 o'clock in the morning to watch that game because that game is When we are, when we convert all these small business dinners,
waste our time, waste our money on DSTV, 450 rand every month, and 5 rand for the masjid. You think Allah is going to give you? You had 450 every month. You destroyed your children's minds, their morality, because how much pornography do you see? 450. How much do you put in the masjid's office? My house. Unfortunately, Iqra channel is also just not listed. But be that as it may, it's something we need to do. What is love and nothing?
That's what we're asking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us.
What's up with Aqdaman, of course? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we ask Allah to make firm our feet. We must go like this. Especially when it comes to Tawheed. You must know who you are. You must know who your Ilah is, you must know how you worship him, and you must know your relationship with him. That is why when you wash your feet, when you take wudu, of course you know that for every part of the body that you wash is a dua. For example, if you wash your face, you say, So Allah, whiten my face today, wet face for me, whiten some face with you there. When you wash your mouth, you say, your right hand, you say, Allahumma ati kitabi yameeni. Oh Allah, give my book in my right hand. You wash your left hand, you say, Allahumma ati kitabi yameeni. Oh Allah, give my book in my left hand. If you wash your, brush your hair, you say, Allahumma haqqa bishahdi. Oh Allah, prevent my turn, my hair from touching the fire. You wash your feet, you say, Allahumma thabbit qadrayya. Oh Allah, make firm my feet. Ala salat, on the salat. Yawma, tazinu fihi al-aqdam. Today we know. Feet will be unfirm. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And Allah give us victory over those who are disbelievers. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When the army was ready to move out of Medina, what was the commander? What did the commander say to his army? He said, listen to these wise words of Umar ibn Khattab. He said, you will meet the enemy bi ta'atillah. And your nasr will be bi ta'atillah. He says, you are going to meet the enemy with your obedience to Allah. And you will become victorious through the obedience of Allah. Why are we not victorious today? Why are people dying? There are thousands. Because we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Victory will not come unless the Muslims obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Defeat came at Uhud because there was disobedience to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah commands us to be obedient to him. فَآتَاهُمْ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Again, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves us to do good. فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا. If you, Allah says, those who make this dua, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. آمين. Allah says, Allah will give them of this dunya وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابَ and the best of the akhirah. Allah will just give them of this dunya with it, but حُسْنَ ثَوَابَ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And this word muhsinin is mentioned 35 times. The doers of good is mentioned 35 times in the Quran. SubhanAllah. Doers of good. And Allah says, and Allah loves those who do good. So what is the reward of good? Like the reward of gratefulness? The reward of good is the love of Allah. Don't expect more than that. What do you want more if you want to do good? Do good, and what you will get in return? The love of Allah. As I said to you, my students, always, you say you love Allah. When do you know that Allah loves you? When you do good and you're grateful. So when you do good, you know Allah is in love with you. But if you don't like to do good, then you know Allah doesn't love you. If you steer away from doing good, الذين ينفقون في السراء والضراء والبلاء. Those who spend in ease and in difficulty. And at the end of this, that verse Allah says, Wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin. And Allah loves those who do good. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us in those who do good so that we may. So that Allah may love us. That is what we want. Never mind my wife doesn't love me. Never mind my children don't love me. What is this? My wife loves me, and my children love me, and Allah is in love. Let's say, yeah, it's not real money. It's a frozen leaf. They couldn't say, fitness, I'm going to be for my ears. It's a nice woman. My wife is a man. I said, buy a nice man. I said, can you get to the city? Do you want a nice man? I say, hey, don't you hold me? Is that nice? Because we're doers of good. Doers of good and show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa al-Asr. Inna al-Insan wa al-Yusuf wa al-Yadina al-Azim wa al-Amdu al-Salihah wa al-Rasul al-Rahman wa al-Rasul al-Salam. Are there any questions? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Now, how does that apply to us today? Because I know that was revealed for the adopted son of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how does that apply to us today? And then also, how do we interpret the definition of the name of your father? Because today we've gone away from the name of our father to surnames, which didn't seem to exist at the time
I just want to before pray. Aziza, because he was the treasurer of he looks after the money. They sent me a note to say that we have 40,000, mashallah, 761.52 cents. In the Tuesday, there's an account at Al Baraka Bank called the Tuesday night class account. So this is even Tuesday night class account. So it is application. Let me answer your question. This is a very important question. I think I want you to confirm the words of what I'm saying. This is a command of Allah. Allah's Allah says, yes. The question, sorry, the question is that in the Quran, Allah Allah says that you should, what is the verse? You must call children by the names of their fathers. Children must be called by the name of their fathers, meaning their father's name, they must be son of or daughter of. And this verse was revealed, as the brother said, in connection with Zayd. Zayd was the adopted son of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not Zayd bin Muhammad. He's still Zayd, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to call him by his father's name. It's very important. So in Islam then, there's no, yes, you can take a child into your home, but the rule is the child must know who his father is. You can't now make the child habilin, because you know, the child is now being with you since the 1 month old or 2 months old. The child knows nobody else, the parents. No, no, no. You're duty bound. In fact, the West struggles with this concept. The West, because the West is this concept of adoption, that the child takes the surname of the adoptive parents, this is always a problem with the child. Because as the child grows up, the child, and when the child is 15, 20, suddenly the child realizes, what, but these are not my parents. I've got other parents. And it causes tremendous psychological harm to the child. Islam says from the day one, you will tell the child, you are not our child, we're looking after you, you have a father, and his name is XYZ. He lives in XYZ, and he is a Muslim or a Christian, whatever, and where do they go? By application, it means
that the sunnah of the Quran is that we should name our children with our names. So my name should be Faith Muhammad Faith bin Muhammad. It's my last name. I shouldn't be Muhammad Faith Khabiri. But because we live in this Western society, we immediately we take off our names up. But this actually it's against the laws of Quran. It's against the laws of Quran. So I tell my children, I tell everybody, my family, everybody, people's children's names that I give, I say, please register your children correctly. Please register Muhammad Faiz bin Muhammad Khamil. Because Muhammad is your, like Quraysh, Quraysh is a prophet, he was Quraysh, he was a Quraysh. There's Muhammad ibn Abdullah Quraysh. It was from the time of Quraysh. So that stays. So if you can, it's a girl, you say Fatima, or you say Mahira, or Huda binti Muhammad Faiz Khamil. Muhammad bin Faiz Khamil. That's how you raise your children. If you can still do it, do it. But all the new children that comes in your family, please tell them to register them the way of the Quran needs us to register. Okay? That's point number one. Point number two, it's also extremely important for the ladies, because somehow the ladies lose their identities completely when they get married. But if they had been, say, Fatima binti Muhammad and they now marry a Salih and become, they still, in a hundred years' time, people still know who she is. But if she just become, she was Fatima Hendricks and now she's Fatima Salih. If they go look up her records in a hundred years' time, they wouldn't know who's Fatima Hendricks. Women lose identity completely. That is why Islam teaches us that when a woman gets married, she must men must now open their hearts and their minds. And she was a double lesson, but you must instruct your children, they must retain. Or if they don't want to retain their surname and they want to take the name of the husband, they must put the father's name in between to identify their asal, to identify the lineage. Otherwise, the lineage gets lost. And subhanAllah, Islam taught this to us from day one. Good, beautiful Islam. Told us. So when we look up the archives of the Nabi al-Sahab, we can trace him right back. Any Sahabi of that time, any person of that time, we can take his name from now and we can trace it. That's why the hadith is authentic. Because he traced by name, by rijal. So and so, Sam, so and so, Sam, so and so, Sam, so and so. Today we say, Khabildin, what a Khabildin. The Shah is Khabildin, so what a Khabildin. Oh, you're an Arab now. Which Arabs are you from? Oh, you're an Arab. Oh, you know. We won't even go there. We won't even go there. Because there are millions of them. And that's how we do it. We've lost. But if you say, you know, my great grandfather, I am so and so, son of so and so. Ah, that was your father. And they were saying, oh, he was the son of so and so. Oh, I see. So you from that family. You from that family. So, and we must try and charm them. As a community, we start doing this sooner or later back into our lives. So please don't forget this, try and enforce it in your family, in your community. Those of us who need something from not having our father's names, can teach me that. I'll take one more question. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Respect in titles.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So is Dr. Saleh and Sheikh Faik and Mr. Alexander.
Okay.
It is the adoption of a title which more respect to the person. When in fact, you know, this class can undertake what you have mentioned, that, okay, with converts, we have a problem, but...
No, no, it's a very important point you're raising there.
But generally, even if you drop the beam, that...
Do you know the name? Just not Kajama, you can continue, just Juraj.
the word, the name Juraij, Ibn Juraij, is actually George. And it was skipped by the Sahaba. His father was George, he was a Roman. So if your father is an Amjad, you should keep his name. You say, I am so and so son of George. That is your father's name. Because there's nothing really in the name. It's not the name that is important, as you already put it up. It is the person. So if your father, you can't make him Muhammad if he's George. And Allah says you must call him by his name. So you will be that. And remember, when you take him to the East, and you will be shocked. I mean, I lived in Malaysia for 3 years. And you know, in Malaysia, the Malaysians give their children's names Rose, and Sally, and Margaret, and they Muslims, they wear hijab. Indonesia the same. You go to Indonesia and you hear the names, these people, Muslim was a non-Muslim. They give those names. How they count Alhamdulillah, we didn't get it. They didn't bring it yet to us. But you go there, I was shocked. I mean, the first woman that I met when I went to Malaysia, their name was Rose. That was her name, they just said name, Rose. So yes, you can be Muslim and your name is still be Rose. The name by any other name, by Rose by any other name, it's still a Rose. Anyway, sorry for that.
The problem with Rose is when it was Sheikh or Molina.
Yes.
You know, that people have totally lost their names because we call them Molina and we call them Sheikh.
Yes.
So if we can remind that, it would be nice. That I would like to address you as my Muhammad for that matter.
Yes.
And I should feel that that is where your respect is in the attachment of the Father's name.
Yes.
This is my feeling. And we have proposed this some years ago to a group of students, and when they came to the conference, we said, look, your name is Masood Islam, or son of Islam. Anyway, that's as far as that is concerned. With regard to the some of the issues that came out in the lesson, number one is that I think poets are the greatest exaggerators of praise. And I think there is a danger when one becomes too enchanted with poetry in that you can get carried away with praise. And the example is what Sheikh has mentioned about the Ahmad and Ahad. Now, the danger there is that if you say Ahmad and vote is the divider between Ahmad and Ahmad, Ahad, then Namsan is dead, so has he now become Ahad? I'm just throwing that back, so to say. The other point is that in terms of the emotion of Omar al-An at the time of the demise of Namsan, which I mentioned, close to the horse emotion. You know, the emotion of the Umar that was almost to a certain degree justified. It was absolute love. And the person who was then dead was present, it was tangible, he was dead. Now, it can't be, it was that kind of craziness that Umar was in. It's almost justified. Whereas the emotion of the horses and those things, it is
I agree with you entirely. I think I really wanted to be nice to the people who practice all this crazy bidas. And I'm sure somebody's going to say, you know what Sheikh said about the Uzi? It's a crazy bidas. It's astaghfirullah. But really, it is exactly what it is. I mean, a Uzi is a celebration of some person who died. It's his birthday, we celebrate. From which deen is this? Is this from the Hindu deen? Is this from what deen? Can you tell me which deen do we celebrate people's death? Years and years after they were. And from which deen is this? So you have to say that to compare Omar to the way people get on today is not correct. To some of the people who celebrate these things. You know, Qawwali and people go into a trance. And I've seen it in Egypt, you know. People walk around the grave of Sayyidina Zainab like you're going through a trance. Saint Badawi in these places, and people go to trances, and so the Hindus go to trances with their ashram. You know? You've heard of ashram? The Hindus have their retreats in India, and where they have their dhikr, their own sort of the spiritual meditation. And they also elevate them, you know, they go to another world. So yes, it's not, you could find Muslims. Though that which is confined to Muslims in Islam is something which comes from Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Before I forget, this is just a note, I read it somewhere and I didn't mention the relation, I was going to mention it to you. Because we talked about pains, and I read an interesting book some time ago about Bali. You know, Bali is a Hindu, still a Hindu hotspot in Indonesia. And I'm sure many of you have got that they go and surf there and you know what people go there. Do you know in Bali, the Bali community, they only have four names. The first child is called number one, the second child is called number two, the third child is called number three, and the fourth child is called number four. Of course, in their own name. I think the fourth child. And if you have a fifth child, you can start to number one, number two, number three, and number four. It's amazing. But the community is so closely related and interlinked that they know exactly, they say, this is number one. They know who this number one is, from where it comes from, and how it is. But here, can you imagine a whole community only have four names? And they know each other. That's why many people in Bali have Baina to recognize them. But they only have four names. Maybe you can confirm this, go on the internet and see if you can find. So we'll stop there now. I just want to say that about this, the deal is, you know, these things cost money to make, and I still have five of the lessons from Uhud, Pathways to Paradise. This was the long lecture that I gave 3 years ago. There's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 copies left, which I'd like you to purchase if you haven't got it yet. And those of you who haven't filled in these Tuesday night class with your name and details, please fill it in for us. We're busy compiling your documents. I said already that if you have a cell number, then we're going to put all your cell numbers on whatever out there they do it. So if, for example, a lecture is cancelled at the last minute, then I'll just SMS anybody. So then, you know, you're not inconvenienced. So we can do all that. Of course, I can keep a tab where you stay and you do it. But either that's okay. If you don't fill in all the details, just fill in all the necessary details. Shukran.